The word of God given to us today is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Amen. Last month, we had a two-day retreat for pastors of our church and their families at Kanghwa Island. Formerly, the retreats were held for pastors to share values of our church and experiences of pastoring. It was the first time for the church to host a retreat for the pastor's family members as well. On the afternoon of the first day, families were provided time to explore. My wife and I visited the Kanghwa Christian Memorial. Kanghwa Island is a region that accepted Protestantism, especially Anglicanism, very early on. Currently, there are over 200 churches on the island, and there are about 50 churches in Kanghwa Up alone. And about half of the population of Kanghwa Island is said to be Christian. The people living on Kanghwa Island initially rejected Christianity and did not allow missionaries to land on the island. In 1892, missionary George Herbert Jones came to Kanghwa Island to spread the gospel but was unable to set foot. A man named Yi Seung-hwan, who ran a tavern in Jaemulpo in Incheon, quit the tavern after accepting the gospel and returned to his hometown, Kanghwa Island. He farmed and wanted his elderly mother to be baptized. However, local noblemen threatened to set fire to his house if Western barbarians were allowed to set foot on Kanghwa Island. Yi Seung-hwan had no choice but to carry his mother on his back through the fields, over mountains, across bridges, through mud flats, and up onto the boat where missionary Jones was staying to have his mother baptized. This is called baptism on board. This was the moment when the first mustard seed of the gospel fell in Kanghwa Island. The second church established in Kanghwa Island was Hongi Church in Hongi Village in 1896. When a man named Park Neung-il, who was the leader of the village, accepted the gospel, the village school became a chapel and a church formed in that village. The village people followed the leader and began to believe in Jesus. There were seven people who first believed in Jesus and were baptized at that church. They were baptized and changed their names for the following reason. When we believe in Jesus and become church members, it means that our old selves have died and we have become a new person. Just as we give a new name to a newly born baby, it is natural for us who have been born again to have a new name. However, these people did not change their names to the names of characters in the Bible or people of faith in church history, but changed their names according to the traditional Korean naming method. Although we are not from the same family, we were baptized on the same day and became brothers. And since we were all the first to believe in this village, let us all change our names to include the Chinese character il, which stands for one. Since they could not change their family name, since they decided the last character of their name would be il, they only had to come up with the first character of their name. They wrote on pieces of paper un and he from the Chinese characters standing for grace, chung standing for loyalty, song standing for holiness, e standing for love, chun standing for sky, sun standing for purity, xin standing for faith, nung standing for power, he standing for hope, and put them all together in a bag, then pray together and each person picked one character for their name. This is how the names of Hongyi Church, Park Deung-il, Kwon Shin-il, Kwon In-il, Kim Kyung-il, Kim Bu-il, Chu Kwang-il, and Chang Yang-il came about. As they spread the gospel beyond their village to other areas of Kanghwa Island, the name-changing practice spread throughout. So in the early days of Christianity, there were about 60 people using the Chinese character il in their name in the Kanghwa Island area. Other characters that were also adopted were characters such as xin. However, the tradition of using the same character in names were to indicate lineage. It was impossible to use the common character used in a certain generation above for a generation below because there was a clear hierarchy. But Christians broke that hierarchy. So people who did not believe in Jesus would say Christians had no respect for traditions. But the Christians confessed the following: even though worldly, we may be father and son, or uncle and nephew. Religiously, we are all children of the same God. We decided to pursue a spiritual order rather than a physical order. People who first accepted the gospel on Kanghwa Island did not simply think that they had begun to believe in a new religion. They confirmed that they had become new beings in the Lord and decided to live a new life. Hongyi Village. At Hongyi Village, there was a rich man named Chung Son Il. There was hardly anyone in the village who did not borrow money from him. He became a Christian and read the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew chapter 18. It goes that a servant who owed the king 10,000 talents was forgiven and went out. When he met a man who owed him 100 denarii, instead of forgiving him the debt, he imprisoned him. One talent is equivalent to 6,000 denarii, which was one day's wage. That's about 16 years worth of salary if the daily wage is 200,000 won. One talent is about 1.2 billion won, and 10,000 talents is 12 trillion won. On the other hand, 100 denarii is approximately 20 million won. When the king found out about this, he became angry and arrested him and imprisoned him once again. The rich man Chung Son-il read the parable and thought about it for several days and then called all the villagers who had borrowed money from him to his house after the Sunday afternoon service. The villagers did not know what to expect. After telling them the parable of the unmerciful servant, he said the following: I am the evil servant mentioned in this passage. The forgiveness of my sins through the grace of the Lord is greater than the forgiveness of a debt of 10,000 talents. But lending money to you and trying to receive it is a greater evil than not being able to forgive a debt of 100 denarii. Then, since it is clear that I will not go to heaven, from today I will regard that I did not lend you any money. After saying this, he took out the debt documents and burned them in front of everyone. People who were shocked and moved by that sight became Christians. Today's passage also testifies that Jesus Christ, who is the only peace between God and between people, broke down the wall of separation and created us as new people. This is verse 14 of today's passage. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. At that time, there was a wall made of stones about 3 cubits, or 1.36 meters high, between the court of the Gentiles and the women's court in the temple of Jerusalem. Anyone who was not an Israelite could not climb over that wall, no matter how high they ranked, who had more than anyone else, or who had achieved the greatest academic achievements. If you were caught sneaking over that wall, you could be killed. By shedding his blood on the cross, Jesus Christ broke down the wall, eliminating the distinction between Jews and Gentiles, and allowing them to approach God together. But we cannot help but admit that we are the ones who tend to build that wall again. There is a book by Gloria J. Evans called The Wall, a Parable. The woman, the main character, works hard to build a wall for some time. The wall, which was low at first, gradually became taller. Sometimes people stumbled over the wall, and sometimes people climbed over it, making the woman feel uncomfortable. So she built her wall even taller. The taller the wall, the more comfortable the woman felt. So she painted the wall and cleaned it. Then one day, the woman fell into loneliness when the wall she had built grew so tall that she could not see people or hear their voices. The woman thought that the wall was making her more and more comfortable, but she was distressed to see that it was making her increasingly uncomfortable. The wall was full of faults. Then, a flower that someone had thrown fell over the wall, and the woman cried endlessly because of the foolish and ugly appearance of the wall. At that time, God came to her with light. The woman realized that God had been waiting for her for a long time to come and tear down her wall. And with his help, she removed the stones of jealousy, disobedience, delusions of grandeur, foolishness and stubbornness one by one. She also received help from someone who had been in the same situation as her. As a result, she was able to see the beautiful light and world that she had long forgotten about, and was truly happy and proud of herself. God said to her, "Go and do likewise as the person who helped you." The woman visited people who were in a similar situation to her in the past, felt sincerely sorry for them, threw flowers toward them, held their hands and comforted them. And she was convinced that one day all the walls in this world would come down and everyone would become one and be able to walk freely in God. Rebuilding the wall that Jesus Christ tore down is not only inadequate as a Christian, it also invalidates the work of the Lord. The only way to break down the walls in our lives, including in our homes, our workplaces, and in our society, is to make the Lord who broke down the walls our purpose. By setting, this is verse 15 of today's passage, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. By shedding his blood on the cross, Jesus not only broke down the wall, but also abolished the law of written commandments. This means that the law on sacrifice, the law on circumcision, the law on food, etc., have lost their effectiveness. So we no longer have to offer sacrifices as we did in the Old Testament era. We do not have to be circumcised. We no longer have to distinguish between clean and unclean foods. We only need to remember the Spirit and keep it. And it is said that Jesus Christ abolished the law in this way to bring peace to Jews and Gentiles by making them one new person, that is, a new humanity in Christ. The new person referred to here does not mean a person who was old before but has been repaired and made to look new, but a newly created person who is completely different from before. In other words, it is a new species. The title of hymn 600 is The Church's One Foundation. The lyrics of the first half of verse 1 are as follows. The Church's one foundation is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation, by water and the word. The church is a newly created entity with the blood of Christ, something that did not exist before. The creation of the church is like God's creation of heaven and earth. It is said that the church is not a union that Jesus Christ brought together by bringing the Jews and Gentiles who are far away from each other closer or by laying roads, but is a new entity created entirely anew. The Apostle Peter talks about the extent to which we have become new beings through the blood of Christ Jesus. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. There are four things that describe what kind of beings we Christians have become. Peter refers to a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people who have become his possession. In the Old Testament era, the chosen people were the descendants of Israel, the descendants of Abraham. Now, anyone who has been renewed in Christ has become a spiritual descendant of Israel, regardless of ethnicity or lineage. A priest like a king refers to being both a king and a priest. We are beings who rule the world with Christ, and we are beings who serve the world like Christ. Also, a holy nation is a being that lives a distinct life. When God led the Israelites out of Egypt, he said, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." God wanted the descendants of Israel to live differently and distinctly from the people of other Gentile nations. These words now apply to us Christians. And God's possession clearly tells us where we belong. If you're in a warm, heated room, you can enjoy warmth even if it's freezing outside. Because you are in the room, that is because you belong to the room. If you are born as a prince or princess of a country, you can enjoy all the things that belong to the royal palace. Because you are the child of the king, we are God's possession. We can enjoy everything that belongs to God. This is the greatest grace we can enjoy. Of course, God gave his only begotten Son to shed his blood on the cross in order to make us his own. We have become a new creation rather than a half Jew and half Gentile called Janus man. All the words given to the descendants of Israel in the Old Testament era have been passed to Christians. And it will be like that in the future tense, but it is like that now, in the present tense. We are already a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and God's possession. Therefore, the Apostle Paul also declares, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." If we have become new beings through Jesus Christ, we must think deeply about two things. First, we must not dwell on the past and think from the perspective of worldly values. There is no doubt that who we are today is a sum of our past lives. However, being fixated on our own and other people's past is not the right attitude to take on in life. In Luke chapter 15, there is the parable of the father who regains his lost son, also known as the parable of the prodigal son. The second son requested and received the inheritance in advance, so that he, and went to distant country and lived in a life of debauchery. He wasted everything he had, and there was severe famine in the country. He worked as a herder for pigs, an animal that Jews considered unclean, but could not satisfy his hunger. So he came to his senses and returned to his father's house. He wanted to be treated as one of his father's hired servants, but his father restored him completely to the status of his son before he left. Moreover, they slaughtered a fattened calf and held a feast. The first son who saw this became angry and said, "To me, who had served you for so many years and kept your commands, you did not give me even a baby goat. But when your son came, he had devoured all your property by associating with prostitutes. But you slaughtered a fattened calf for him." Even though the second son had already returned home, the older son, the brother, remained stuck in his and his younger brother's past. The second son went to a distant country with the inheritance he had received. So the older brother would not have known about the younger brother's life. Nevertheless, he said, he hung out with prostitutes and squandered all his father's property. This is just his guess. Jesus told this parable not to tell us not to live a life like the second son, but not to think like the first son, because the second son returned home and he became a new creation. The Apostle Paul confessed the following in Philippians chapter 3. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul says he presses on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of him. It is said that in order to do this, you must forget what is behind you and press on to seize what is in front of you. Paul forgot the things he was proud of from the perspective of Judaism, such as being born as a descendant of Israel, especially the tribe of Benjamin, and being circumcised on the eighth day, growing up in a Hebrew-speaking family and synagogue, even though he lived in a foreign land, and being blameless as a member of the Pharisees according to the law. He also forgot that he did not know Jesus when he lived his public life and persecuted Christians. For Paul, his life before the Damascus incident was like a scarlet letter in his life as an apostle of the Lord. But Paul did not become frustrated or despair. Because of his previous life, he was able to strive to take hold of what was ahead, could only look to the Lord as a signpost, and was able to run toward the prize of God's calling from above. If we have become new creatures through Jesus Christ, secondly, we must think from the perspective of eternity and the perspective of the Lord's word. As Jesus was about to be crucified, he said to his disciples, this is Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. As Jesus was thinking about being crucified in Jerusalem, the disciples argued about who would get the better position when Jesus was crowned king in Jerusalem. Until then, the Lord's words fell on deaf ears, and the disciples' perspectives were extremely world-oriented. They were not like new beings at all. But things changed completely after the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost. What the Lord had said to them began to sink in. Their eyes were fixed on the kingdom of God, and they became true servants. Then through them, the gospel was spread to the whole world. This is the first part of the poem Visitor by Chung Hyun-jung. A person coming is actually a tremendous event. It is because the person comes with his past, present, and future. The Bible says that our life is like mist. Even if the fog is so thick that you can't see properly, once the sun rises, the fog disappears without a trace. The powerful people and heroes of the past may have seemed great at the time, but from today's perspective, they are like fog. Most of us don't even know that such a person existed. The Bible also says that our life is like grass, and the glory of life is like the flowers of the grass. No matter how fresh the flowers look, you will soon see them drying out, as in the saying that there are no red flowers for 10 days. When we look back on our lives, how quickly have the past 10, 20, or 30 years passed? However, the reason our lives can be so great is because Jesus Christ created us as new people by shedding his blood on the cross. If we are in the Lord, he changes and renews our past, present, and future. Do you believe that God created us as new people in Jesus Christ? If so, let us all press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. From the moment we realize this truth, we will live a new life as people who are created as new people in Jesus Christ. And this world will definitely become anew because of us living the life of new people. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that the Lord not only broke down the wall between God and people, and between people by shedding his blood on the cross, but also created us as new people. The first Christians on Kangwa Island believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and changed their names to prove that they were created as new people and to follow a spiritual order rather than physical order. Also, in order to obey the word of the Lord, the rich man burned all of the debt documents he had. Please do not forget that because the Lord created us as new people, please help us not forget that because the Lord created us as new people, we have become a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and the Lord's possession. Help us no longer dwell on the past and think from a perspective of worldly values, but help us think from the perspective of the word of the Lord. If we are viewed only as finite creatures, our life is like mist that soon disappears. Our life is like grass, and even the greatest splendor of our life is like a flower that does not last long. Let us all be in the Lord who created us as new people. Let us press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. In this way, please help us to be created as new people in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.